Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon. Good sunny afternoon. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender in for Neil Statham this week. And it does feel like summer today, but I know that it's not summer because football season is officially underway.
Yes, I'm excited about that, but not excited about a certain game last night.
No, well, it started so late. My kids asked if they could stay up, and I said, absolutely not. I'll let you know what happens in the morning. And then, of course, I turned off the TV very soon after they started because it would only make me upset.
Yeah, you could tell early on it was not going to be good for the purple if you're a Viking fan. So.
Yes, but there are many games to be played. Don't give up yet. I'll just continue to say that. And even if you're not a football fan, well, you may be a Buffalo Bills fan instead. They did very well.
Yeah, beat the Colts last week. They have the Patriots this week. They're even being picked to beat the Patriots this week.
So you're probably wondering why I'm promoing or saying good things about the Buffalo Bills. You will know soon. Even if you're not a Vikings fan or a Buffalo Bills fan, chances are you know the struggles of famed Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly and his family, what they've been through in the last several years. First, there was a heartbreak of Jim and his wife's only son, Hunter, dying of a rare genetic disease before his ninth birthday. And then most recently, in the last few years, Jim has been fighting an aggressive case of cancer that has attacked both his jaw and his nasal cavity. Jim had coined the mantra Kelly Tough during his football days, and that phrase has definitely stuck. It now serves as a family creed for Jim, his wife Jill, their daughters Erin and Cameron. Jill's daughter Erin has written about her experience as well as how faith has helped her family to remain strong even through these tough times. Her book is called Kelly Tough, Live Courageously by Faith, and I'm thrilled to get to talk with her today. So let me tell you a little bit more about her and we can get started with the show. Erin Kelly is the oldest daughter of Jim and Jill Kelly. She's always had a passion for writing and journaling and sharing her faith. She's a sought-after speaker to young women. She's co-authored 5 books with her sister, Cameron, and she attends Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. Erin, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Thanks for taking a break from school to be on the show. I'm sure you could be studying.
I could be, but I'd rather be talking to you all.
Well, first of all, I read that your father is doing very well after completing his last round of chemotherapy and radiation. Tell us about his status and how things are going.
Yeah, so, you know, there are always ups and downs after cancer. Chemo and radiation definitely take a toll on a person's body. And so my dad has had various side effects, you know, some difficulties with his eye and MRSA coming back and stuff like that. But as of right now, he's doing great. And just, it's a long process. It's a long healing process, even after the initial chemo and radiation. But it's so encouraging to see him at the Bills games and having fun and just really living.
Mm. Well, I'm sure it's great to see his smile. It's been great just watching all of you be interviewed on television and seeing you together, and it's just encouraging for all of us as well.
Well, and thank you just to everyone who has prayed for our family and kind of stayed in tune with our story and what has been going on. It has just been such an encouragement to us.
So I was reading in your book that you started writing just kind of to have an outlet to express the way that you were feeling as you were going through lots of difficult times with your family, and then it kind of blossomed from there. How did this book come into being?
Yes, well, I always have written just in my journal, just talking to God about life and everything that has been going on. And I did that, especially when my dad was going through cancer and watching him suffer through chemo and radiation and all that took place during that time. And so I started just talking to God about it and writing in my journal. And before you knew it, I was talking to God about, okay, what does this Kelly Tough thing really mean? When I actually see my father be weak, the father that I always saw be tough, now what does actual Kelly toughness mean? And so I just began talking to God about it. And before you know it, I was talking to my mom and my dad and sharing what I had written. And we decided that we want to share this with more people. We want to share the hope that we have so that others, in the midst of their own circumstances and in their own struggles, that they can look to the strength of God like our family did.
Well, that toughness, it does seem to be more than a physical or a mental toughness, maybe something that you would expect from a football player or an athlete of any type. But this seems to be more kind of a statement of character, of who you are from the inside, and of course incorporating your faith as well. Would you say that that's accurate?
Oh, absolutely. And you could say, yes, my dad is physically tough. You know, he was known as the toughest quarterback in the National Football League when he played. But now I was looking at a father who was struggling through cancer and who really was physically weak. And I had to turn to the strength of God in the midst of that. And I couldn't rely on my dad getting through this disease on his own and his own strength. It would just be completely impossible. We had to rely on the strength of God. And so Kelly toughness did, it just transformed into no longer just being a physical toughness, but a spiritual and emotional toughness that we're going to rely on the strength of God in the midst of it.
I wrote down a quote that just really hit me. You wrote, "I always saw my dad as being such a tough, strong guy, and it was so weird for me to see my big, tough daddy being physically weakened, and it was able to reveal to me the strength of God. It taught me that it's okay to be weak, it's okay to cry, and it's okay to let your guard down and be vulnerable. Because sometimes in our weakest moments, we are at our strongest because we allow God's strength to be displayed in the midst of that." So, Erin, when did you first realize that it was okay to kind of let your guard down? And did you get that from your father?
I think I really actually realized that when I saw my dad be weak. And I was traveling back and forth to the hospital where he was in New York City because I go to school at Liberty in Lynchburg, Virginia. And so I was traveling back and forth every weekend to be with my dad and my mom as she was taking care of him in the hospital and everything. And those moments where I was in the hospital just holding his hand and literally seeing life, it seemed like I was just watching the life slowly just drain out of him. And so to see that, to see the toughest man I knew actually be weakened by a disease, it was extremely hard for me because as a little girl, I always watched him and thought he was the toughest person ever. And so in those moments, I learned that it's okay to be weak because in our weakness, we learn to rely more heavily on the strength of God because ultimately, when you come to that place where you are weak and you don't have any strength left to give on your own, you have to turn to Christ.
Hmm. Well, and it just time and time again, as you mentioned in your story, you've had to do that. One of the reasons was, of course, from your brother Hunter. And it looks like it's been 10 years has passed, right? 10 years has passed since you lost Hunter?
Yes, 10 years. And Hunter, he is my hero. And I know every single one of my family members would say that as well. And it is because of Hunter's suffering that we really sought after the suffering of Christ and to realize what he did on our behalf. And Hunter, just his joy and his radiance, although he can never speak a word, it changed everything for our family. And we are who we are today because of Hunter. And we would not have the strength we have in Christ if it weren't for watching Hunter be weak.
Well, in fact, one of the interviews I was watching about your family, your mom said Hunter is the reason that your family has a strong faith and the reason that your family knows God more intimately is because of Hunter and what he had to go through. Tell me a little bit more about him and how that inspired your faith journey or deepened your faith journey, having to watch him suffer.
Well, for those who don't know, Hunter was born with a genetic disease called Krabbe leukodystrophy, which affects every single part of your body. He was never able to talk or walk or smile or do anything on his own. And so he needed 24-hour care. And it was through Hunter's suffering that my mom began to seek after Christ and my grandma began to seek after Christ. And before that, before we knew it, they had given their life to the Lord. And I, as a young girl, had just watched them intently and I saw the joy that just transformed our household after Christ intervened. And so Hunter, just in his little innocent body, we just saw the love and joy and strength of Christ displayed in him. And it was really because of his suffering, like I said, that we sought after the suffering of Christ. And it was those difficult moments of really seeking and searching that we ended up finding the healer and the one who would eventually take Hunter home to be with him in heaven, but who walked us through so much. And it was through Hunter that we learned what Kelly toughness really meant. And And my dad would say, I know this without a doubt, that my dad would say that Hunter's the toughest person that he's ever met. And it's just because of the strength of Christ displayed in him.
Hmm. Well, and even at such a young age, it seems like you really understood what was happening in your role in just being a sister who just loved on her little brother.
Oh, absolutely. It was a joy and an honor and a privilege to be his older sister and to help take care of him. And it's interesting because there were so many moments of suffering and hardship when he was here. And we've talked about it now. My mom has just shared some moments that were really extremely difficult. But as a young girl, I don't remember those things. I don't really remember the difficult moments because I just saw Hunter as being my brother. I never saw him as disabled or handicapped or anything like that. He was just Hunter to me. And so that was a beautiful thing. Although I did have a realization of what was happening and that he was very sick. But at the same time, I saw him how Christ saw him, that he was just this little boy and he was loving Jesus and living life just as God had designed him to.
Mm. Well, today I'm talking to Erin Kelly. She's written a book called Kelly Tough, Live Courageously by Faith with her mother, Jill Kelly. And we will talk to Erin a little bit more when we come back. If you are listening today and you have a question or a story you'd like to share as well, it has to do with either finding Christ through suffering or just being tough. Well, we'd love to hear from you as well. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And we will be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender and thrilled today to be talking with Erin Kelly, who's written a book called Kelly Tough, talking about not only what it means to be tough, but what it means to be weak as well. And Erin has been sharing her story as the oldest daughter of Jim and Jill Kelly. She has had a passion for writing, also telling her story through words. We're hearing about her brother Hunter, who had passed away almost 10 years ago now from a rare genetic disease, and then her family's struggle with her father, going through cancer, going through treatments, having it come back, and is now happily in remission. Correct, Erin?
Yes, he is in remission right now, and he still has checkups every few months to make sure that the cancer is still gone. But as of right now, he's cancer-free, and we are so honored and thankful that God is just continuing to heal my dad.
There are those pits in your stomach that happen every time he has to go in for an appointment, aren't there?
Right. You always have those moments where you're worried, and especially when other side effects of the cancer come up and you just think, okay, Lord, please let this not be another diagnosis. But ultimately, I just take it back to God and continue to trust him that his plans are greater and that regardless of what the outcome is, that we're going to praise him and we're going to continue to trust him.
Well, I get the impression when I read your book that a lot of what you know to be true about God came from your father showing you what it meant to be loved unconditionally, fully and completely. Is that true? Did that help your understanding of who God was?
Oh, without a doubt. I think that everything that I've been through in life and how I've watched the love of my mom and dad be transformed too. I mean, if you look at the statistics of everything, they should not be married today, but it is by the grace of God and the redemption of God that they still love each other, and they love each other more today than they did the day that they got married. And to see how God transformed them and the love that they show to one another, it shows me more of God's love. And even just watching my brother Hunter suffer and watching my dad suffer and the love that grew in our family as a result of suffering and as a result of hardship, it shows me more of who God is. And I think that's in any circumstance that any of us are faced with on a daily basis, that we learn more of who God is in the midst of suffering and in the midst of our own circumstances because we learn to rely on him.
Mm. Well, and you do share, I mean, you've gone through some very big life events, being your father being sick, being your brother going home to be with the Lord. But you also write about some problems that a lot of people probably go through, having to learn to forgive each other when someone has been wronged in your family. I loved your story about just how your dad came to you to ask for your forgiveness and how you were able to not only forgive, but to also forgive other people who may be saying terrible things about your dad. Can you talk about one of those experiences and how you learned about forgiveness?
Right. Well, the one you talked about specifically, my dad did come to me and ask for forgiveness for being unfaithful to my mom. And that's something we share as a part of our story because of the redemption of God in the midst of that he has redeemed the choices that my parents have made, and he's redeemed my life. And the fact that my dad would come to me and ask for forgiveness, it showed me so much of who he is as a man and just his character and the transforming that God was doing and continues to do in all of our lives and in his life. And to take that forgiveness and to hold on to that and say, okay, I'm going to forgive others, it just taught me so much about that. And then when my dad was going through cancer, and to have people, one person in particular, tweet my sister and I and say, I hope your dad dies. I mean, things like that that have come up, that I've had to face the decision and the choice that, okay, am I going to let this affect me? Am I going to be bitter and make my heart hard towards them? But at the end of the day, I have to bring it back to God and say, okay, Lord, you've forgiven me and my sin and all that I've done against you. Lord, you've forgiven me. And so who am I to hold forgiveness from anyone else? And God has really taught me a lot through having to forgive others and to show me ultimately his forgiveness.
Well, and I love that you said your mom said, well, we need to pray for this person. And you were like, what? That can't be.
Right.
Talk me through that and how you go through other instances. It's got to help with what you go through today as well.
Right. Well, initially, your first reaction is to say something back or to get upset. But my mom and my grandma and I, we just gathered around in that moment and said, okay, we need to pray for them because clearly there's something in their heart that has made them angry or bitter, and they are taking that out on us. And ultimately, those are the people that I, through our story, that we're trying to reach, is the people who are lost, who don't know the forgiveness of Christ, who haven't seen the love that God has for them. And so we want to pray for them and to show grace and mercy, because that's what God did on our behalf. And I've learned to take that with me too. And being a football celebrity's daughter, you hear a lot of different things and a lot of cruel things, but I know that God is in control, and that praying for them, it changes everything. And it changes your mindset and your attitude too. No longer are you bitter and angry, but you're able to say, okay, God, I know that you're in control of all this, so I give it to you, and to pray for that person.
What have you learned about prayer specifically through going through all of the struggles that your family has gone through? Were you always very confident that prayer would indeed bring healing? Would it bring results? Or were you ever skeptical about it?
I learned that prayer is powerful, and that the power of prayer changes everything. I mean, every single time before my dad went into chemo or radiation, we would gather together and we would pray. And we would started praying with the doctors and oncologists who didn't believe in God, and yet they would join our circle to pray with us because of the just that we prayed every single time before that. And I remember one of the doctors saying that he was like, we've never seen anyone do that before. No one's ever come in here and prayed before their chemo and radiation. And so to have that impact, have that influence on someone else's life who doesn't know Christ, that's huge. And I saw how prayer just completely transformed everything. And I remember a specific incident that I talk about in the book, but I'll share really quick, is just that my Uncle Ray, who's one of my dad's brothers, he spent a lot of time with us taking care of my dad. And there was a time when before a radiation treatment, and my dad said, hey, Ray, will you pray before this one? And he, not being a believer, he was very hesitant to pray, but he said, okay. And his prayer was simply, Lord, I have a lot of mean things in my heart right now, but I would take my brother's place if I could. And that alone, that simple prayer from someone who was mad at God, who didn't understand why my dad was going through cancer, he said a simple prayer. And it taught all of us that we can come to God just as we are. And our anger and our worry and our bitterness and our doubt, that God wants us to come to him with all of it. And I really learned that about prayer, that prayer is simply coming before God with all that you are and being who you are before him. Because he knows at the end of the day, regardless of what it might be, he knows.
Hmm. Are you finding now that you're in college and having conversations with some of your fellow students that everyone does have a story? Or are you finding that people aren't necessarily as open about sharing their story as you are?
Without a doubt. And going to different places to speak and to share our story, I've had people come up to me and share their own stories with me and to see how every single person has their own struggle. And that will happen in this life. And God even talks about in his word that in this world we will have trouble, but to take heart, he's overcome the world. And so I've seen how struggle has played a role in each and every person's life, but ultimately that they've seen that they can come to God just as they are. They can bring all of their suffering to him because he knows. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like. He died on the cross so that we could come to him in the midst of our own circumstances. And to see people come to me and to share their stories and say what an impact that our story has had on them. And that is such an encouragement to me to know that through our story and through what God has done in our struggle and our life, that other people are encouraged to share what they've been through so that other people can be encouraged.
It is a wonderful door opening, that vulnerability that you share and that people know, because somehow that makes you a little safer maybe for people to be able to talk about themselves or some struggles that they're going through. And it just makes me wonder, why don't we just do that more often? Why aren't we more vulnerable about what it is that we're going through, the struggles that we're having, the questions that we're asking God? It seems like we would have much better and deeper conversations with people if that were to happen.
Right. And vulnerability is extremely difficult. Especially, well, in my case and in my family's case, we were being vulnerable with the world because of the platform that my dad has been given. We've had people reach out to us from different countries and places all around the world. And so knowing that being vulnerable has a cost, and when you're in the spotlight, being vulnerable has a big cost because you don't know how people are going to respond to it. And initially, when my dad was diagnosed, we didn't necessarily want to share. We didn't want to share our struggle with so many people. But we came to the point where we said, okay, how is our struggle going to impact other people? Can other people who are going through their own circumstances, can they be impacted and encouraged by what we're going through? And that's for anyone. Being vulnerable, yes, it has a cost. But it's also so rewarding to see how God can use your story to impact others.
Well, I'm talking to Erin Kelly today, author of Kelly Tough, Live Courageously by Faith. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender here talking with Erin Kelly today about her book, Kelly Tough, Live Courageously by Faith. Erin talks about the struggles that her father has gone through with cancer, beating it for the second time, and also about struggles that she's gone through with her family, losing her only brother, Hunter, about 10 years ago to a rare genetic disease. And Erin, that phrase, Kelly Tough, I know your dad used that when he was playing football, but he also used it when raising you as well. When's the first time you heard the phrase, Kelly Tough?
Wow, I can't even remember the first time. I feel like I grew up every single moment of my life. Whenever there was something going on that needed that phrase, that it would be used. I remember playing basketball as a little girl and getting injured or falling down, and my dad saying, you're going to be all right, be Kelly Tough. And he still says it to this day. He was talking to his dad yesterday on the phone, and he reminded him, all right, Pop, be Kelly Tough. And so I've heard him say that my entire life, but it really started when he was growing up, and with him growing up with five brothers, and all of them being boys and playing sports and wrestling and all that comes with being a boy. Mm-hmm. He had to deal with being Kelly Tough a lot growing up. And so he really brought that into our family.
Hmm. I was just had this vision because I have three brothers, and we had that same sort of phrase. Of course, I just had to be one of them. And my mom would always say, if I'd come and say, Mom, you know, so-and-so is hitting me, or he looked at me weird. And she'd say, settle it yourself. And in my head, I thought, well, that just means they're going to beat me up. I have to be tough. But it's true. When you grow up in an environment where your family kind of conditions you to be tough, you begin to be tough. And yet that didn't seem to affect, or maybe it was something that you had to learn when you learned who God was and how being tough wasn't necessarily the same definition of going to wrestle with your brothers.
Right, exactly. And I learned that through suffering. You know, what God has taught me in the midst of watching my brother be weak and watching my dad be weak is that toughness. That it's not just the physical toughness that, all right, get up, you're fine, you'll be good, just be Kelly Tough. No, it's way beyond that. And Kelly Tough, too, is far beyond the Kelly family. It's more than that. It's about every single person in their own situation in life, that they can look to the strength of God and just through the circumstances and life and what God has allowed me to walk through, my definition of Kelly Tough has changed.
Mm. Well, and you do write in your book that there have been times when you've had to have some strong conversations with God, and so you're even being tough when you're having those conversations with him. Were there times when you were questioning what was going on or why the people that you loved had to suffer?
Oh, yes. There were many times when I asked God why and just kind of cried out to God and said, I don't understand why you're allowing this to happen. And the interesting thing is that I think that that's okay, that I think Christians a lot of times feel like they can't come before God and be real before him, and they don't want to say that they're asking God why. But I believe that it's okay, because God knows, regardless of whether or not we ask him or not, he knows, and he wants us to come before him just as we are. And that's what I did. I said, Lord, I don't understand why. And I came to the place where I had to say, okay, regardless of what the outcome is going to be, I still believe that you're good, and I'm still going to trust that you're sovereign in the midst of this.
Well, and there's just so many wonderful scriptures about tears and that it is okay to cry. I mean, Psalm 56 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. And sometimes it is important to let God know how we feel. He knows anyway. But to be able to say things out loud to him and even to cry must make it a little bit easier to get through whatever hurdle it is that may be stopping you up.
Yes, and there's such a beautiful part about tears. There's something beautiful in crying and being able to let your guard down and just be raw before God. And I realized that, and I've seen my dad cry less than a handful of times, and to see him actually be weak and to see him cry, because I did see that when he was going through this battle, and he was able to be vulnerable before us. And although he may not have wanted to be, I think that it made him stronger, and it made us all look to the strength of God even more, to know that, okay, tears are okay. And they're good, and they show that it's okay to be weak because God is strong.
When you've made the statement, God is bigger than cancer, but I imagine you need to remind yourself of this truth often when you're having to watch your dad suffer.
Yes, definitely. And I think that goes for anything in life, that we need to remind ourselves that God is stronger and that he's greater and that he meets us right where we are. And it's not just cancer, but it's any battle that someone may be facing, that, you know, you have to be reminded. You have to constantly speak life and remind yourself of what God says in his word and the truth that he is in control no matter what the circumstance might be.
So finding strength during times of difficulty seems like it would be challenging, especially if you're on your own, you're in college, you're kind of removed from your family. What are some ways that you can kind of turn your mind back to God when a sense of hopelessness might start to seep in a little bit?
Right. Well, I simply just talk to him and tell him exactly how I'm feeling and open up my word and just breathe the life of God's word into me, because that is our lifeline. Whatever it may be that we're going through, the word of God is our lifeline, and it's where we find our hope. Because if you look at all the things that different people in the Bible have gone through and what God has brought them through, you find a sense of strength and hope. And that is what I do whenever I'm faced with doubt or fear or worry, is just go to him.
I'm going to read one more quote to you that you wrote in your book, just about this whole trying to answer questions and going on this journey that you've been going on, talking about your story. Says, I'm not going to try to figure out the will or sovereignty of my Heavenly Father. I'm certainly not going to try to give a theological explanation of the deep, holy things of God that I cannot fully comprehend. All I can share is what I have experienced as a result of allowing God to reign in my heart and to make it his home. Do you find that as you go around and you share your story, that people are asking for explanations that you're not able to give from a theological standpoint, but you just are able to tell what's happened in your life?
Right. I think that ultimately our testimonies are sometimes stronger than the theological answers, because people do look for that answer. They want to know, okay, what exactly does the Word of God say about this? How do I look at this theologically? When really God has given us a story to share. God has given us a testimony so that we can share it with others. And there's strength in the word of our testimony. There's strength in the blood of Christ to defeat the enemy. And so I think that our testimony is one of the most powerful things, because it is tangible evidence of the glory of God and what he does in the midst of our suffering and our circumstances. And so although I may not have the theological answers to why my dad went through cancer and everything that God has brought us through, I have my testimony to share. I have the things that God has actually done in and through my life. And I think that that's more powerful than anything that I could come up with theologically to tell someone.
Well, and obviously that's happening as I read your story and I look at who's listening to you tell your story. And you just intercede, I think, with just this vulnerability and this genuineness, that people will feel more connected because they hear your story and they'll feel like they're connected as well. So you've done just such a great service to all of us.
Well, thank you. And that's really, I want people to be able to connect with us and to our story. And that's another reason why I wrote Kelly Tuff, is so that someone else, whatever they're going through, that they can relate to us and that they can look to the strength of God too.
How has the reality of fear and death kind of changed what you think about your family, the people that you love, and what you think about God as well? You've come pretty close and experienced death within your family as well.
Well, that just reminds me of one instance in particular, actually, in the hospital. When my dad was in New York City getting treatment, he did an interview just at the beginning when he had found out that he had cancer and he was getting ready to do treatments. And he had done an interview and someone asked him about death and if he was just about the whole situation. And his response was, I'm not afraid to die. And I think that alone is so powerful. And I remember just bawling and my mom and I being like, what does he mean he's not afraid to die? He's not going to die. To come to that realization that you're not afraid to die, especially when you're faced with the reality of death and the reality of fear and all of that, it allows you to say, okay, I know whose I am and I know who I am. And that's really what my dad came to, that place where he knew who he was and he knew whose he was. And he knew that if he were to take his last breath here on this earth, that his next one would be in heaven. And that was extremely comforting to me. And when I was faced with the reality that my father might not be here to walk me down the aisle, when I had to face those hard questions that, okay, is my father going to make it? Those were extremely, extremely hard, but they showed me even more the reality of who God is.
Do you think that what you had to go through losing your brother has helped you in any way just absorb what is happening with your father and be able to react and talk to God and support your dad?
Oh, without a doubt, because I watched my brother Hunter suffer, and because we had to rely on God during those moments, I think it helped us even more watching my dad go through cancer. And I learned so much through just the joy that Hunter radiated, and that we needed to bring joy and life into the situation, because it was dark and death was a reality when Hunter was here. And so those moments of having to, okay, turn fear into faith and turn doubt and worry and anxiety into trusting God and into joy. And so I was reminded of those things and able to bring them into watching my dad go through cancer.
You write that you learned a lot about sacrificial love from watching your grandmother and your mother care for Hunter, especially as his life was coming to a close. Even at 10 or 11 years old, what is it that you were learning about loving people, loving your family members, but loving people in general by watching them care for Hunter?
Well, exactly what you said, that love is a sacrifice. And I think that we first see that through Christ, that he sacrificed, that God sacrificed his one and only son because he loved us so much. And I look at that suffering of Christ, and I'm reminded of Hunter and his suffering, and that love is a sacrifice in that, but it's also such a joy. It's a joy to be able to love someone who can't express love the same way back. And I realized with Hunter that him just being who he was, he radiated love. No, he couldn't verbally tell us that he loved us. He couldn't hug us or do anything like that, but he radiated God's love. And that's another thing that I've learned, is that when we radiate God's love, it's a different kind of love than what the world says. And the world looks at love as just being this fairy tale type of thing, but it's so much greater. And just watching suffering of my brother Hunter and my dad has shown me so much about God's love, whereas in those circumstances, I could have turned far away from God and I could have doubted his love, but I think that he showed me more of who he is in the midst of those things.
Well, I'm talking with Erin Kelly today. She's the author of a book called Kelly Tough, Live Courageously by Faith. We'll be able to talk with Erin just a little bit more after this next break. You've been listening to Connecting Faith.
But you got to keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. You got to keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down.
Well, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening this afternoon, talking to Erin Kelly today about her book, Kelly Tough. And Erin, you are a sophomore at Liberty or junior?
I'm a junior, yes.
Okay.
I just turned a junior this year.
Well, excellent. And so has all of this experience, these experiences that you've had, have they affected what you want to do with your life once you graduate?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I think that it was through these circumstances that God kind of paved the way to what I want to do in life and what I think that he's leading me towards. Obviously, the number one thing that I want to do in this life is to honor and glorify God, and he has provided many opportunities for me to share my story, and he has given me a platform to make his name great and to share what he has done in our family, and I'm extremely thankful. But he's also given me many opportunities to be on camera, and not only to share about our story, but to talk a little football and stuff like that. But at school, I'm studying digital media, so hopefully one day I would like to do something along the lines of that, maybe continue to work in sports, but we'll see. I'm just relying on God with all of that.
So we might see you on the sidelines someday?
Maybe. Or maybe at a Bills game. I don't know.
You can be pushing buttons behind the scenes, one of the two?
I would like to be in front of the camera, maybe during sideline or something like that. I've had a few opportunities to do some stuff along those lines. So I'm just really excited for all that God has in store. And I'm kind of just holding on to him and saying, all right, I'm trusting you with this. I'm just going to follow your lead.
Well, then, can I ask you about your opinion on the Bills-Patriots game coming up this weekend?
You can definitely ask me about that. I don't know if you guys can tell, but my voice is a little hoarse because this past Sunday, I was screaming as loud as I could at the Bills home opener, so I kind of lost my voice a bit. But I'm the biggest Bills fan ever, so I'm so pumped for the game against the Patriots. Yes, initially we thought a few months ago that Tom Brady wouldn't be playing, but now that he is, I'm even more pumped because I think that the Bills can show that we can take on Tom Brady and the Patriots and we can win. So I don't know. I'm hoping for a win. I'm expecting and anticipating a win at home in Ralph Wilson Stadium. I am so excited, and I have a lot of expectations for the Bills this year, but I think they can pull it off.
How about the Vikings? Do you have any thoughts on them? Please be encouraging.
Well, I don't know. After yesterday, I'm not so sure. But, no, I don't know. Did they play the Bills? I don't think they played the Bills this year.
Well, good, because then I won't have to cheer against you.
Exactly. We won't have to beat you guys. No, I'm just kidding. But, hey, what happens? I don't know.
Do people who come in contact with you or meet you for the first time, once they find out that your father is Jim Kelly, do they treat you any differently, or do you kind of get to just be Aaron at school?
Well, there have been opportunities where they've realized who I am and wanted to, you know, take a picture or get an autograph or stuff like that. But I love when I can just be me and just be who I am. Ultimately, I believe God has given us the platform so that we'll glorify and honor him. And it's not about me. And so it does, you know, being the daughter of a professional athlete, it comes with those different moments where you're known as Jim Kelly's daughter and everything like that. But I think that really our family now is not known as much for football as we are for just who my dad is and everything that he's done through and what God has done through it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, how has Jim's story and his story about his faith and how it's grown and matured, how has that affected some of his friends who he's known for many years?
Well, it has definitely affected them in a big way that so many of his friends came to New York City to visit him when he was going through chemo and radiation, and they still ask about him often and check in on him often. I know former teammates of his and even Dan Marino, who's former opponents, have contacted him and come to visit him, just seeing how he's doing. And they really care. And I think that friendships have grown and relationships have grown because of it. And he has an amazing group of friends and an amazing group of former teammates that really have become family to us.
Well, and I know you are, of course, there's two daughters in your family, and we haven't heard much about Cameron, but I'm guessing that your dad is wanting to be the protector of his family like every dad does. How does him having to deal with cancer affect how he feels he's protecting you? Does he ever talk about that? Or it seems like that would be a difficult struggle for a father of a family.
Right. Well, without a doubt, he wants to be the protector of our family. And I think that through this, his biggest fear in it all was that he wouldn't be able to walk both of his daughters down the aisle one day. And speaking of my younger sister, she is 16 years old and she's just amazing. And she doesn't do interviews very much or go in front of the camera, but she is behind the scenes through it all and taking care of daddy and being his nurse when he needs her to be. And she's just incredible. But yes, I think that my dad, he wants to protect us. He wants to guard us from, you know, the unknown, and he wants to guard us from seeing him in pain. And that's hard. And I think that our entire family has come to the realization that pain is a part of life and that we cannot protect ourselves really from it, but that we have to face it head on with the strength that God has given us. And but I think that through all of this, he has become stronger, and he's realized that when he puts his strength in Christ and then he relies on God, he's able to be that protector for our family that he wants to be.
Well, maybe this has softened him a little bit so that neither you nor Cameron would be afraid to bring a boy home.
Hey, I don't know about that. He's still pretty tough.
I don't know that I'd want to be that gentleman getting out of a car, walking up to your front doorstep. That might be a little intimidating.
Yeah, well, he does have a gun sitting at my door. No, I'm kidding. He's very protective, but he's a sweetheart too. So he's got a soft spot.
Good. Well, tell me, Aaron, if there's been just a story of someone who's been impacted by your book, by your story, who's been able to write and tell you what's been particularly meaningful for you to hear as a result of writing your book.
There have been so many stories from so many people that have said that their book has impacted them. But I know one in particular, this lady wrote to me and said that she had lost her ability to read. She had experienced, I'm not sure if it was a stroke or some sort of illness, that she had lost her ability to read. And the doctor said that in order to get her reading back, she was going to have to start slowly reading again. And the book she chose to read was Kelly Tuff, and just how that had impacted her. And this was the book she decided to read so that she could learn to read again. And I'll never forget that story. And it has stuck with me and encouraged me. And it's just amazing to see that through my suffering, through my dad's suffering, through Hunter's suffering, our family, everything that we have walked through and been through, that our pain has not been wasted, that God continues to use it for his glory.
You know, we have to close our show in just a few minutes. I'm wondering if you would consider praying for those who've been listening today who maybe have a struggle of their own and aren't sure how to get through it. Could you just offer some words of prayer for them?
Absolutely. That would be an honor.
All right.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for every single person listening today, every person who you have uniquely created and made, that they may be going through a circumstance right now that they would not have anticipated or that they do not want in their life. But Lord, we trust that you're sovereign. I pray that you would meet them right where they are, that in the midst of their suffering and their circumstances, that they would look to you and be who they are before you, that they would bring every struggle, every weakness at the feet and lay it at the foot of the cross, that they would trust you, and that at the end of the day and at the end of it all, that they would know that their pain is not wasted, that you are using it for your glory and their good. And Lord, help us to be thankful that in the midst of whatever we're going through, that we would look to you and say, thank you, Lord, for being who you are and for walking me through this. We love you, Lord, and we trust you as we walk through this day. In your name I pray, amen.
Well, Aaron Kelly, thanks so much for joining us and for writing your story so we can all just see the power of God through both strength and weakness. We just so appreciate your willingness to share. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
Well, we'll love to have you again. If you just listened to part of this interview and maybe you didn't catch the whole thing, you can go to myfaithradio.com and click on a podcast of this episode and many other. We'll have more information about Erin and her book on our website as well at myfaithradio.com. Listen in tomorrow as we talk about how to disciple your family, how to raise your children up to be followers of Christ and those who would also disciple other people. And then as we have on Thursday, we have our Ask the Professor Thursday, where professors from Northwestern University will be able to sit and answer your questions about the Bible or other things faith-related. And then on Friday, we're going to talk about whether or not we need both testaments of the Bible. Always an interesting discussion from a university professor as well. Thanks so much for listening to Connecting Faith today and always. It's been a pleasure to be on the air today with Erin Kelly and her book, Kelly Tuff, Live Courageously by Faith. Have a great afternoon.